I'm joined in studio by Shirley Smith. Shirley is the project coordinator at Yall Family Resource Centre, and she's going to help us to help our child to understand and express their feeling.
Yes, Declan. Hello, how are you?
I'm very good.
So this month we're looking at ways to help children understand and express their feelings. I suppose children tell us how they feel through their behaviour. So you might see challenging behaviours or withdrawn behaviours, and they're not putting a language on it. So if we start early and help our children to understand how they're feeling and be able to name it, that's kind of halfway there to having a discussion and be opening up things to solve problems and support their wellness, because they feel heard and understood. Because feelings is something we all have. If somebody says, oh, you look, if somebody said they look proud, we understand that because we know what that feeling feels like for us as adults. So it's helping children develop that language. Very often, particularly with younger children, we're very focused on their academics, so their words, their numbers, their schooling. But it's just as important to help them to learn the feeling words.
And how do you get the concept of feeling? Like how, to a child, I'm talking about the younger age group now.
Yeah. So with the younger age group, so with the under fives, we recommend focusing on three feeling words: happy, sad and mad. Children at that age are, you know, with the under fives, they are clued into body sensations. So if you say something like, you look happy, you're smiling, you know, you look mad, your face is all scrunched up or your body is stiff, then they recognise, oh, my body is stiff, so this is when I've got the mads. So if you just focus on three feeling words with the under fives and get those down, you know, and keep naming the feeling word with the body sensation that you see. In other words, what's on their face or their body posture that it gives away what you think they might be feeling. What I would say to parents as well is don't worry if you guess incorrectly. If it's incorrectly, they'll tell you. The important thing is that you guess and you keep naming the feeling word with the body sensation that you see or the facial expression that you see. So you look happy, you're smiling. Or you look sad, there's tears coming down your eyes. You know, so that they know this is the word and they can match the word with the body sensation. So the next time they feel it, then they're going to be able to say, I'm sad. And have it more accurate, the more we practice this. Another way that we can teach kind of like the under fives about feeling words is you as an adult putting feeling words that you mean now, and they have to be genuine. So I am proud of the dinner I made today. You know, I feel happy looking at you using your knife and fork, you know, or doing as I asked first time, you know, whatever it is. So that you're putting feeling words on you. And even if like there's another adult in the house, it might be a friend calling for a cup of tea, that you, you know, praise them, you know, so that they can see that this is what happens, you know, so that there's feeling words in their vocabulary.
And we'll say you have the three, the happy, the sad and the mad or angry, we'll say,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah.
Do you move outside them then at a certain age group?
So once you get over five, then add more words, add more feeling words. So proud, excited, frustrated, annoyed, calm, relaxed. And what I would say is it's really important to focus on, you know, when children are having like good feelings or feelings that they enjoy, like you look calm, you're all stretched out in the sofa there, you look really relaxed, you know, so that they can get the balance in their life, that you're not just giving attention to prickly feelings that we mightn't think are easy to have. Like angry might be a difficult feeling, emotion to have, to experience. It's not a nice feeling for us, but it's important that we have the balance, that we get people name when they're relaxed, when they're calm, when they're playful, you know. So you're putting those kind of feeling words as well.
People might be slightly afraid, though, if they give them these feelings, that they'll, use these feelings against you, if you know what I mean. There's an ad on television that absolutely drives me up the wall. It's where two boys and one boy, the older boy is fighting with the younger boy and the parents come in and blame him. Then the older boy gets into a mood and sort of lies up in his room and does nothing. And then the parents buy him a phone and suddenly all is right with the world. It's what message are we giving out here? You know, that's what worries me slightly.
Yeah, so I suppose one of the big key messages to give children is that all feelings are okay. So it isn't normal for us to feel content, happy, relaxed all of the time. It is normal as a human being to also feel sad, frustrated, angry some of the time. But it's how we behave we're responsible for. You know, it's not okay to hit out, but it is okay to feel angry. So what I would say is we're not looking for to appease children. You know, we're looking to help them to process the emotion and to understand that it's normal to experience it. How they might react may not be normal. So if, say, your child is angry and they're over, like, you know, they're 7, 8, you know, saying something like, I can see that you're angry and frustrated right now with this conversation and I'm starting to feel annoyed. So I'm going to go and take 5 minutes to calm down and I'll come back when we're calm again. We'll come back when we're calm again and talk it out. So then you're modelling, it's all right to feel angry or annoyed, but you need to remove yourself from the situation, calm yourself down and come back and visit it again when you're calm.
Yeah, I think an awful lot of adults could learn that one. You know, the people who sort of, and we all know them, sort of who sort of once they get angry, they just say something or do something and you say, oh, they should have just sat back for a few minutes and just talked.
Well, there is a scientific reason for that. So in the middle of our brain, we have our amygdala and it's about the size of a walnut and it holds liquid. That's the, you know, the non-medical terms. It holds liquid. And when we feel any big emotion, so even if we won the lotto and we were hyper excited, any emotion in the extreme, it floods our brain. So it floods our thinking brain, you know, side part of our brain. So that is why we end up saying and doing things that we later regret when we experience a strong emotion. But breathing and taking breath and taking time to ourselves helps all that liquid to go back into the amygdala and helps our thinking brain to be reactive again so that we're able to be in control of what we say and do. So the thing to teach children from a young age is taking breath and taking time. Is if that becomes their autopilot, when they have the big emotion and their brain is flooded, they're automatically going to take time to calm themselves before and allow their thinking brain to be activated again before they engage with another person. The thing we can't do, I suppose, is tell a child that they need to go away and calm down. We need to model to the child that we both need to take time apart for a few minutes to calm down and then come back and have a discussion. So it becomes a team effort. You're helping the child to know what to do when they feel a strong emotion.
It sounds a brilliant idea and it sounds like something, as I say, that a lot of adults could learn as well, you know. What other sort of feelings how can we help children, we'll say, who are disappointed with something? We'll say exams and exam results and that sort of stuff now coming up or whatever, you know, not being picked for a team or something like that.
So naming that. So I can see that you're disappointed. It's not your turn. Or I can see that you're disappointed you didn't win the match. You know, let's do something together to talk that out. Do you know? Doing activities regularly that don't involve eye contact as well is a naturally good thing to do, particularly as children grow into teenage years, because not having to give eye contact really helps with problem solving. So you can be chatting away about a problem that you're having, or it might be difficult for them to talk about a problem, but if they're not having to make eye contact with you, that it really helps with that.
Why, so, does that sort of remove them almost from the they're having the conversation but they're not having the conversation?
Yeah, eyeballing someone when you're feeling maybe embarrassed or ashamed or guilty or stuck is really difficult to do. So doing something that doesn't involve that very full-on eye contact is really the best way to approach it. So if you are worried that your child or young person has something on their mind, pick an activity that doesn't involve eye contact. So walking, because you have to be side by side, driving in the car, you know, anything that's not baking together or cooking the dinner together, because then your eyes are down on the food. Anything that doesn't involve eye contact. But I would say do it regularly. Spend time together doing something together regularly, because that naturally helps the flow of conversation and just allows for conversation to happen. And listening more than asking questions.
Or lecturing. Now, if you have a 16 or a 17-year-old who's gone sort of moody, withdrawn into themselves, how do you work that?
Naming it. So I can see that you're not okay. You know, I can see that you're down or that something's on your mind. Again, guess the feeling. You can't go wrong, okay?
But, I mean, you'll get back from them, "I'm fine, there's nothing wrong with me, it's you, good luck, bye."
You can say, "Look, I know this face since you were small. And I know that there is something wrong and that you're not okay. And when you're ready to talk, I'm here." You know, so rather than going in with lots of questions, just giving it space and saying, "I see you're not okay. I am here for you and I'm ready to listen when you are ready to talk." Because sometimes teenagers need time to process something out. But just saying, "I'm in your corner and I have your back, you know, and I really see you. And I see that you're not okay." And then giving it space, leaving it, not going straight into "what's wrong, tell me about it, I know that," you know, because that just makes them retreat more. So give it space, give it time, and then revisit it, you know. Maybe wait till the following day, and if they still haven't talked, saying, you know, "How are you doing today? You still don't look like you're happy, you still look sad or worried or whatever you think they are. Are you ready to talk, or would you like me to, is there somebody that you feel that you could talk to? Because I do feel like you need to talk with somebody." So the other thing is, sometimes they mightn't feel that we're their first port of call for whatever reason, but helping them identify an adult that would be suitable, that might help them problem solve, and just dropping the seed, do you know, and going gently is a good way to go.
Yeah, you often felt sort of a favourite auntie or uncle or cousin or friend of the family or whatever.
Exactly.
Because sometimes they don't want to talk to the parent themselves. And that, if as long as you can get keeping the lines of communication open, really is the main thing, isn't it, in this situation?
Yeah, and letting them know that they need to activate their support network, you know, of an adult, and kind of identifying rather than a peer friend. Do you know, they're very, at 16, their friends become so much more important than their parents. But trying to help them to link in with an appropriate adult, because you don't know what the issue is. Do you know what I mean? Or at least letting them know that they need to activate their support network, that they're not okay. And it's normal when we're feeling stuck, when we're feeling sad, or when we feel like we've a problem and something on our mind, that it's normal to reach out to another human being, connect with them and trash it out with them to try and help ourselves.
But this is probably easier if you've been doing it all along, like you're telling us to do in a way. You know, you're telling us sort of start when they're young, start naming your feelings.
Yes, yeah, right from when they're babies, start using feeling words on how you feel, do you know? And make sure that your feeling matches your face, as I say, with
if my feelings matched my face, it would be elderly, overweight and whatever.
No, but your facial expressions, you know. And it's all right for children to feel stuck. And it's okay for them to feel disappointed. It's okay for them to feel worried. You know, letting them know that all feelings are okay, but saying, "I'm here for you. I have your back. Would you like to talk about it? Or let's go and figure it out together. Let's think of all the possible ways that you might be able to feel better." So help them explore what helps them when they have difficult feelings, when they're not having a difficult time. So you can do things like, you know, brain hacks, like your favourite song, blasting your favourite song, or some of them might like to go out the back and roar and shout into the atmosphere if they've got the mads, or, you know, they might like to go kick a ball off against the wall or something. Helping them to identify when you have a feeling that feels that you want to change, that you're not feeling comfortable with, what helps you in those moments. So for us, it might be having a coffee in the quiet, taking, you know, going to the bathroom, washing our face and hands, to help us kind of get, you know, 30 seconds or 2 minutes quiet time before
having a shower.
Yeah. Having a shower and washing your day away. Like, there's different things, but helping children and young people to explore what those things are for them and helping them to kind of maybe pick positive choices is a really good thing to explore. Yeah, and as I say, just kind of using a more team approach. So we're in this together. So if there's annoyance or anger brewing, like when we say no to a child or a young person, they're not going to be happy about it. So you can say, look, I know, I can see that you're unhappy that I've said no, that you can't go to the disco or you can't go out to your friends.
But everybody is going and you're the only parent under the sun, Shirley, who won't allow me go.
And I know that that does, you're unhappy about that. My answer is still no, but I can see that you're not happy. And letting them know that you really do see them, you know, that's important. You can still stick to your no.
Yeah.
But empathise with the feeling.
Yeah,
you
and
know,
it's
have
the old,
empathy for the feeling, the disappointment, that rather than saying, look, cop on to yourself or stop that crying or you're just going to have to get over it, that kind of brushes away the feeling and that's not healthy. Whereas saying, I can see that you're annoyed. I can see you're gutted. I'm not allowing you to go on that sleepover. So empathise with the feeling helps it to go away faster. So these things can absolutely help behaviours as well. So if I'm able to express myself, if I feel that the adult who is caring for me understands, really understands how I feel, then I'm less likely to be explosive or reactive or withdrawn. Those, you know, extreme behaviours that cause us worry as parents.
Thanks a million. That's absolutely great. I've learned more now today than I probably did in the last 10 years working. You know what I mean? So absolutely fabulous. Look, I'd love you to do something on sleep and children at some stage. Would you come in at some stage and do something
yes,
on
absolutely.
That?
Yes, absolutely. We can look at sleep next month, especially because the summertime routine that everybody be getting back into, trying to get ready for a September back to school routine.
Oh, don't mention those awful three words.
And then the smallies getting sleep. So we'll look at sleep next time. And just to say, your library has a section in the library for children, young people of all ages dedicated to big feelings and exploring big feelings. So pop along to your library if you'd like to look at this somewhere. All right.
Shirley, thanks a million. Project coordinator at Yall Family Resource Centre. It was fantastic talking to you. Thanks a million.